Welcome to Humble Tea Podcast. I'm your host, Delilah Suhe Modesto. Each episode will connect by sharing stories, some of my past experiences, and tips on exercising our gratitude, expanding our perceptions in order to strengthen our own self-awareness to heal ourselves and the people around us. I created Humble Tea to pertain to a broad audience working towards a common goal to become our best examples of this movement. A movement where we encourage vulnerability, accountability, and break down the toxicity in our generational programming. My goal is to implement this mindset in our everyday lifestyles, all while remaining true to our authentic, real personalities. So without further ado, it'd be my pleasure to humble your ass. Hello and welcome to Humble Tea's first official episode. I just want to start off this first episode by expressing my grand and genuine deepest gratitude. I am eternally grateful. I am so appreciative of everyone who is here right now, investing their time to be present in the moment with me right now. And it wasn't until after I had released my first two videos on YouTube that I started listening to podcasts, ironically enough. And when I started listening to podcasts, I didn't realize how much determination it takes really to kind of pull yourself out of the matrix to really invest in your mental stimulation. And I say the matrix because that's what I like to call it, where you're just in a routine, when you're on autopilot. We wake up, well, me personally, and I'm speaking for myself. You wake up, you do the same thing to get ready every morning. You listen to the same music on your way to work. You talk to the same people at work. You do the same crap at work. You get home, you eat the same type of dinners. You wear the same clothes. You just do the same thing all the time. And you don't ever really realize all the other stuff that you're missing out on that life has to offer you because you're just so stuck on autopilot. And sometimes that can have something to do with your mental health. For me personally, when I get like that, it's my depression creeping up on me. I've dealt with depression as young as the age of 6 years old. So I kind of know when it's already like in the air and it's creeping up on me. So I'm pretty good at like redirecting it and going into something else, into another, you know, hobby or an endeavor. But man, I really did procrastinate on making the first official episode on this podcast only because I needed to focus on what was holding me back. Like, I knew I wanted to do it, but there was like this little weak voice. Like, my confident voice is loud as hell, but that little voice of like self-doubt that lives in our brains rent-free, it was getting louder and louder. It wasn't getting as loud as my confidence, but it was definitely being annoying. And I'm the type of woman where if something's bothering me, whether it's, you know, a fight or argument, some beef, whatever, I like to face it head on. I like to talk that shit out. I didn't want to figure out where did we go wrong. Why is it bothering me? Why did it bother me? I like to ask all those questions. So I had some self-doubt before putting this out, and I wanted to go explore and psychoanalyze myself and figure out what was holding me back. And in one of my videos, I can't remember which one, because this couple of months during quarantine has just been a blur. I'm sure everyone can relate to that. But in one of my videos, I had stated, you have to be your own biggest fan. And I am my biggest fan. But sometimes we can be our own worst enemies. And you have to get to study that enemy and understand why. The whys. And I needed to realize, I'm like, why was I holding myself back from doing this? If I'm not doing it for myself, if I'm scared what people might say or think about me, why the fuck do I care if it's not even me who I'm doing it for? I'm doing it for you guys. So from this day on forward, I'm just kind of like middle fingers in the air. I really don't care, because I've come to terms to realize that you can be the juiciest, the ripest, the funniest, the kindest, the sweetest, the smartest, the richest, whatever, peach. And some people just do not like peaches. Some people just don't fuck with peaches. No matter how much you try to convince them that you're good, they just won't like you. And that's okay. And it took me a couple months to become a little bit more secure in my own identity. Just like in anything, in any aspect of your life, light will outshine darkness. The good always wins. So I had to think about this. If, God willing, this gets the exposure that I hope that it gets, I'm going to attract a lot of snakes in the grass, just like anybody else. But I have to realize there are more people out there that I've met, that I've gotten closer to, that love me and support me and believe in me. And they're always going to outpower the people that want to see me fail. They're looking forward to it. They're looking forward to my downfall. The people who love me are going to outweigh the haters. And that right there alone gave me the strength to carry on with this endeavor. Because like I said, I'm doing it for you guys. And everything that I talk about here, since this is the first episode, I do want to establish this. All my stories and experiences, whether funny, dark, humorous, kinky, whatever, it's not to make you guys feel some type of way about me or towards me or feel sorry for me. It's literally to help you guys. Like, I'm good. Like, I've done so much healing. I'm the happiest that I've ever been. I'm the safest I've ever been. I finally feel like I'm telling the truth when I'm telling people that I'm okay. And I just want everyone to feel how I feel after going through some really dark times. And I want to be able to do that without sugarcoating shit. I want to do that being real with you. I love all that, like, live, laugh, eat, pray, love bullshit. Don't get me wrong, I love it. That stuff is real, you know? But I think what had gave me this idea one day was, well, multiple things had given me this idea, but one of the things was, like, I would always go on Instagram and I would go through my feed and I would see people post stuff like, this is real, this is 100, this is real, this is real. And it'd be like really harsh stuff, like kind of like really superficial or shallow, harsh, blunt stuff, and then hashtag real. And I'm like, damn, I'm like, there's some truth to that, but I'm like, what about the realness from the heart, from being empathetic? When are we gonna make that shit cool again? You know, like, you're always gonna, I always tell people, like, be sensitive. Like, when did that become a sign of weakness? When did that not become cool? Like, you're always gonna have those friends. You're gonna have that friend who's an addict who acts like he doesn't want help, but you know he needs help. You're gonna have that girlfriend who's always bitching about her baby daddy, but she ain't gonna leave her baby daddy. You always have that friend who's always complaining about his job but doesn't bother looking for a new job. You know, everything you say to them, they're not going to be able to comprehend from the level that they are at. Sometimes you have to meet people where they're at to get somewhere. If you want people to comprehend the realness that of the knowledge that you carry in your mind, you got to correlate that with the realness of the knowledge you have or carry in your heart. I'm trying my best to word this shit together, guys, so bear with me, but I hope I'm making sense. But There's this quote, and I wish I could remember who said it. It says something like, nobody cares how much you know. Yeah, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, you can tell someone like, oh, drugs are bad for you. You're going to get stupid. It's addictive, blah, blah. And the addict who's already addicted, you know, is going to look at you like, I don't give a fuck. Like, who are you? Like, I'm fine. I can function on this shit. Like, whatever. Like, you know, they're going to look at you like that, like, dumb. Like, whatever, dude. But why? You're saying that so bluntly because, oh, it's 100 or whatever. Like, ah, nah. You're going to be a loser, 100, whatever. Like, it's the fuck. Like, what are you doing? You're not doing nothing but feeding the fire to make this person go down a further rabbit hole to just tell you to fuck off. No one gives a fuck until they know how much you give a fuck. If you have a friend, then let them know, like, hey, bro, like, get real with them instead of just being like, man, that shit's lame. 100. No, man, hey, I seen how you used to be, and I know what you can be, and I believe in you. Like, just know when you're ready to change, like, I'm here for you. I'm here for the hard part. Like, I know it's not going to be easy for you to stop, but just know when you're ready, I'm here. And that alone, that's what's being 100 for me. That's being real. Like, not just saying some shit and just putting 100 hashtag and, like, be like, oh, that's real. You know, and not flashing money and all the super materialistic things that you have. Oh, that's being real. It's not. Like, you have every right to brag about everything that you have, everything that you've gone through. But when you stop sharing the knowledge to the people who aren't at where you are yet and start degrading them, who the fuck do you think you are? You know, like, I've been up there. Like, I've had my car. I've had my dream condo, my dream job, my man. I've had it all. And then I've seen God snatch that shit right under my face, you know, and take it away from me. And I've had to get it back all over again. And then God came back and I still didn't learn my lesson because I was being a little bitch. And he snatched it right back from me again. But you know, I'm at a point in my life where I got it back again. And I got that shit back with vengeance now. Like, I'm never going to get it taken back from me again. And I had made a pact with God. And I'm not a very religious person, guys. I do believe that everyone has their own personal spiritual relationships with whoever they think is up in the sky. The point of the matter is I had made a pact with God, like, if I can help people figure themselves out, break down their own minds, be there for them emotionally, and support them, help me fill this gaping hole that's inside of me so I can learn this lesson. Like, that's all I want to do. And I think I started healing when I started doing things for other people. And I always tell people who suffer from depression, one of the things that I like to do is I like to do things for other people. And some might say that that may be a codependent characteristic. I don't think so. I mean, it depends how committed you are. You know, you should have boundaries when it comes to being there for people yourself. But one thing that's helped me get through all of the darkest times, and trust me, like, I've struggled with depression since I was 6 years old. And like I said, everything that I say on here, it's not to make you guys feel sorry for me. I'm at a very happy and stable place in my life where I feel confident enough to share this stuff with you. So please don't feel sorry for me. And it's not to make you guys feel sorry for me. Trust me. I'm very happy. But I struggled with depression as young as the age of 6. And I was doing all the wrong things to fill this void that I had in my heart. I was doing drugs. I was hanging out with the wrong people. I was binge drinking. I would binge eat or I would starve myself. My weight has always fluctuated because of all the different medications that I had to be put on. So one of the natural healing things that I always advise people to do, I'm like, do something for somebody. But be sure it's something that where you're not going to be exhausting yourself. But a personal choice of mine that I had made was moving from management, from various different kinds of stores, from different backgrounds, management to being a teacher in the classroom with children. And it was probably the best and hardest thing I ever had to did. It was definitely an uncomfortable change that I had to do, but I think it truly saved my life. I was really good at management. Don't get me wrong. Like, I kind of miss retail sometimes just because of the different kind of people that you encounter every day, but I was fucking miserable. Like, oh my God. Like, I would come home exhausted, especially being like a woman as young as me in the field, a woman who looked like me. I'm not the prettiest girl in the world. I get it. Like, I'm not the baddest bitch. I know. But I know I'm a pretty bitch. Like, I know I look good. So, like, right away, I feel like people would look at me and be like, this girl's this young. She looks like this. She's already this free-spirited. Oh, no. Like, I'm not going to take her serious. So, right off the back, when I would go into an establishment, having the position title that I had, it was hard for me to gain people's respect in that place and really put my foot down when it came to certain employees. So it was just really miserable. Like, I would come home exhausted because I felt like I had to work three times as much just to be at the level of respect that everyone else had in the same job position. So it was exhausted. I fucking hated it. And at the time, me and my ex were financially stable enough where he was like, you know what, why don't you take a break from doing that and do something that you actually like, something a little bit lightweight and easier. So I seen an ad for a center and I'm just like, oh my God, like they need teachers. Like, I'm going to go apply. You know, I got the job. I was only supposed to be there for the summer, but I fell in love with it. Like, I never realized how much working with children can teach you how to deal with adults more. Because just like children, you know, like you can have a toddler having a tantrum. They're just like, no, no. Because they're not at the level of comprehension that you're at, obviously, because they're a toddler. And sometimes, you know, it clicked with me. I'm like, gosh, I have to deal with people the way I deal with my kids. I really do. You know, Tommy can tell you like, oh, Tommy, we gotta go outside, but you gotta wear your hat. Tommy's gonna say, no, I don't wanna wear my hat. Tommy, you have to. Mom sent you to school with it. It's cold outside. You're gonna get sick. You gotta put your hat on. No, Miss Delilah, I'm not wearing my hat. I don't like the way it looks on me. I'm not wearing it. You know, sometimes you have to meet children where you're at. So I'm like, okay, Tommy, how about this? You put your hoodie on, but you gotta keep it on the whole recess. And I'll let you not wear your hat today. Okay, that's fine, Miss Delilah. You know, that you gotta meet people where they're at sometimes when it comes to communication. So that's one of my big things here on Humble Tea. Like, I wanna help us all practice that. Let's all practice our comprehension here so that we can be the best examples for other people who want to grow. You know, we can't underestimate the power of a seed that we plant in someone just by being an example. And I always say this to everyone. I always fucking say this. I'm always telling people, never stop doing the right thing. Never stop being your highest authentic self, because the people that you think do not take you serious, the people that you get no type of recognition from, they're going to act like they don't see you. But believe me, you are influencing change in them. Like, if you pay attention, you ever post something on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, and you pay attention to, like, just the energy just alter in your timeline. Like, you see people kind of posting similar stuff to you, you know, in a sense, like, not like, oh, like, I'm a trendsetter type of shit. Like, no, be humble over here. Not like that. And if so, that's the beauty of the world. Like, that's what I mean by we're all connected. We influence each other. So I'm always telling people, don't be embarrassed to be yourself. Don't be embarrassed to wear your unique outfit. Show off your unique style. Speak your unique voice, your truth. Dance your weird dancing. Just be you. It's such a beautiful thing to see someone so confident in who they are that they can influence the change around them, the energy around them. Can you imagine how much of a better place the world would be if we all just saw each other, if we all opened up and became vulnerable, saw vulnerability as a positive thing? I'm so fucking excited, guys, as to where we are all going to go, all the places we are going on this journey together. Because when you start breaking down your own mind, if you're figuring out why you are the way you are, you start to understand why everyone around you is the way you are. And then you get this certain different kind of hunger of, what can I do so that we're all in this together, so that we're on the same level of frequency? You know, we always talk about being real. Like, being real isn't just trap music and hip hop. Like, it is, like, but being real is gangsta, yeah, but being real is spiritual. Being real is religious, I guess. It couldn't be. Being real, you know, is like love. It's universal. Love is a universal language. And I feel like I've lived my whole life as a fly on the wall. I see so much potential in all these different kind of unique people that I'm surrounded by, and I'm like, what can I do? I'm like, what can I do? I'm like, man, I just want us all to be on the same level of frequency where we can hear and listen and see each other for who we really are and appreciate it. We don't all have to think a certain way or look a certain way or dress a certain way to all be self-aware. Hell, like, y'all hear me talking about God and shit. Like, you hear me cussing and talking the way that I do about the things that I do. I want us all to be ourselves. I don't want us to have to give up who we truly are, the things that make us beautiful and different from everyone else, to be on the same level of frequency of love and acceptance for one another. We shouldn't have to. I want to still be able to talk my shit and dress the way I fucking do, dance the way I do, drink the way I do, you know, and still offer a safe place for people to understand themselves and the people around them. Because if it's one thing that I learned about spending so much time by myself and learning myself, is the more I learned about myself, the more I understood the people who have hurt me, the people around me who tend to sabotage my peace sometimes. And it's helped me practice forgiveness. It's made my forgiveness stronger and easier. Because when you forgive people, it's like, oh, you're weightless. They can't hold anything against you. And it's true what they say, like they always told you in church, forgiveness is not for you. I mean, scratch that. It is for you. Forgiveness is not for the other person. It is for you. And if you guys are worried about closure, and this is something that I recently concluded, you're never going to get closure from something, whether it's a breakup, a fight with your best friend, or a job loss, whatever. You're not gonna get closure from something until you forgive it. I can't tell you how many times I forgave people who needed to apologize to my ass, first of all, But I forgave them because I finally understood that the way they treated me when I didn't deserve it had nothing to do with me. One. Two, I forgave them because I just didn't care anymore. I'm just like, you know what? Like, me being upset about that certain situation has to do with the person that I was a couple months back. I'm not that person anymore. I don't identify with her anymore. I'm not going to carry that with the woman who I'm going to become 3 or 4 or 5 months from now. I'm disassociated with it now. And for that, I must forgive it because I'm so in love, so proud of the woman that I am today, that I can't have nothing but love for it. Because it molded me into who I am today. And something that I do, I highly recommend that if you don't want to reach out to the person who has hurt you and that you need to forgive, try writing a letter. You know, have a self-care day. Turn off all the noise. Take a spiritual bath or a shower. Meditate, pray, listen to your favorite music that makes you feel calm, that makes you feel beautiful, handsome, whichever. Eat your favorite food, whatever. And just sit down and really relax and write a letter to your person that you're thinking about, that you resonate this message with. Write a letter to them. Choose to send it or don't. I'm not sure. But write a letter just letting them know that you forgive them. Words are just so powerful. So write a letter and let them know that, hey, I forgive you. I don't have any hate in my heart left for you. Any ill intentions for you are gone. And I love you. Thank you for making me who I am today. And if you're not at that phase yet, it's hard to get there. It took me a couple of years, to be honest, to forgive one of my people. But from personal experience, every time that I do something like that, where I forgive them verbally or written down in a letter, the closure came along after. I would have a download, an epiphany, a dream, whatever you want to call it. I would have a moment where the closure came on its own. And it was just like a light bulb moment where I'm like, well, no shit. Like, God or whoever, they're not going to give you the closure that you seek until you forgive. Because half the time, the closure that they are going to show you is probably going to be a side of the situation that you were not prepared to see or comprehend at the moment because you still had all of these negative thoughts and feelings and intentions and energy towards this person. So when we forgive the person who hurts us, our angels, our guides, our ancestors, whoever, they see that and they're like, wow, like she's not going to take off and run off with the information that we're going to give her. We're going to show her this side of the situation, the closure that she wanted, because she's ready to get it now. And a lot of what I'm saying is probably not going to fucking make any sense to people who have not gone through it themselves. And that's okay, because podcasts, there's so many out there that are made from that are made for different kind of people. And the people who are listening and following me here today, you guys are my people. And we're in this together. And like I said, I'd like to apologize. Not apologize. Let me rephrase that. Because we don't apologize for taking care of our mental health here. But I just want to explain why I had procrastinated so much on doing this. And it's just because Humble Tea is, it's live. Like, literally, like, everything that I'm sharing with you is shit that has actually happened in my life. And it's so much experience, and I've yet to experience so much stuff. So I'm just so excited to share with you guys. But just keep in mind, everything that I say, I have to be so careful about how I say, when I say it, and how I say it. And it might take me a little bit longer to come up with content sometimes because I'm just so terrified of, like, the people who have been a part of these experiences that have happened to me coming forward, being mad, or, you know, like, all the haters coming out trying to expose me, whatever. But like I said, my intentions are pure, that I've never had a more clean conscience of anything that I want to do. So I just hope that you guys are here with me, and I'm just so glad that you guys have given me a chance and a voice and strength to come and do this for you. And I'm just so excited for what's to come, because we are coming for everything that we fucking deserve. So before we kick off, I just do want to share the adjective of humble and the via Google definition of it. Having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance. So like I said, guys, this is Humble Tea. It's a safe place. And I just want to let you guys know that whether you're just getting your day started, or you're on your lunch break, or you're getting ready for bed, I always like to practice what I'm grateful for. And something that I'm very open about, like I said, is my vulnerability. And I like to start off by saying what I didn't have a year ago from today that I have today. And one thing that I didn't have a year ago from today was my own place. I have always bounced around from home to home as young as the age of like 11 years old, maybe. Or I've had roommates, or I've stayed with friends, whatever. But I finally have my own apartment, and I'm just so grateful. The feeling that I had when my landlord handed me my own keys, I literally, as soon as she walked out the door, I quickly locked the door. And I looked at Penny, my dog, my English bulldog. I looked at Penny, and she looked at me, and I fell on my knees, and I started crying, and she was just jumping all over me in excitement. And I was just sobbing like a fucking baby. I was like wailing like I had just lost something. I was just so fucking happy. I was just so like, holy crap. Like, it was just a feeling of surrealness. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I felt like I was in a different reality. I felt baptized. I couldn't explain it. Like, I was just so overwhelmed with so much gratitude and hope for the future for me. Like, I had just ended a huge cycle of my life, like, huge toxic cycle. Like, I just shedded an old part of my life, and I was ready to be reborn into the next chapter. It's just, it was such a beautiful feeling. And that's why I always tell people, I'm like, don't wait. Don't wait until you hit rock bottom to be grateful for these little victories. You know, don't wait to be starving with nothing to eat, nothing but water to drink for dinner. Don't wait for that moment to be grateful for the full fridge of food you got in your house. You know, don't wait until your roommate steals your fucking furniture to be grateful for the little furniture that you have now. Don't wait for you to be sick, very, very sick, to be grateful that you were ever healthy. Don't wait to lose your eyesight to be grateful of all the beautiful art, all the beautiful colors that the world has to offer, all the beautiful faces. Don't wait for you to lose your hearing to appreciate the music, to appreciate the voices, to appreciate the laughters that are contagious. You know, I always tell people, be so grateful. And when I got those apartment keys, guys, yeah, to some people, you know, they're probably rolling their eyes like, oh my God, it's just an apartment. Like, you dumb bitch, mortgage is cheaper, whatever. I don't care. I'm not there yet. But when I got this apartment, like, all to myself, I'm like, holy crap, I don't have parents here to bring me down, to neglect me, to beat on me. I don't have a man here controlling me, abusing me. I don't have a roommate taking advantage of me. I don't have friends being fake nice to me. You know, like, it's just me and my dog. It's just me and my baby. It's me and my warm bed. It's me and my clean clothes. It's me and my full fridge of food, my full stocked kitchen, my living room, my plants, my beautiful balcony, my two sources of income, my beautiful jobs, just the shoes on my feet, the hair on my head, the makeup on my skin, like, just everything, like, the air in my lungs. Especially during COVID, guys, don't wait for someone to get sick or for you to lose your job. Just be grateful. Be grateful, please. Like, being grateful, like, people who carry gratitude in their heart every day just have a different demeanor to them. The demeanor to them is just a more powerful, more bright, more beautiful. You can see a hot guy, but if this motherfucker's complaining all the time about the littlest A-town came out of me real quick, sorry. But y'all know what I mean. Like, when you see a man or a woman, you know, who's good looking, but she carries so much gratitude and grace in her heart. She's kind, she's patient, she's understanding, she's full of hope. It's just a different kind of glow, a different kind of vibe, a different sense of power to a person who lives their life like that. So, alright guys, I'm like going on 36 minutes now. I need to shut the hell up. And frankly, I've been recording for like 5 hours now. I think this is probably the best one of my options. So if you disagree, sorry, I'm not Joe Rogan. Not yet, at least. But when I do get to his peak, to his potential, I'll make sure to take all my genuine supporters up there with me, for sure. So thank you guys so much again for listening to me talk. And like I said, if you ever see me in person, please, please, please come up to me and talk to me. I love meeting people. I will never turn down a valuable conversation. I am the type of person where I find value in everything, and every encounter, every experience, good or bad, approach me. I encourage it. So I hope you guys have an amazing month, week, day, however long it takes me to get to the next episode. And I hope before you encounter anything that's going to trigger or disturb your peace, think about how your higher self should react to the situation. Because remember, guys, everything you put out into the world, whether it's good, bad, fake, wishy-washy, it's going to come back 360 right back to you. So if someone's trying to fuck up your day and you want to fuck up theirs, it's just never going to stop. We have this superpower, guys, where we can spot when someone's having a bad day just by feeling out their energy or reading their body language or seeing what's making them clench. Pay attention. If you're smart enough to notice things like that, then you are powerful enough to alter the energy for the rest of the day for everyone around you. So if Karen's trying to fuck up your day, Karen's giving you road rage, Karen's taking too long to take her order. Karen's came back with your food late. Karen fucked up your food order. Karen fucked up your papers. Whatever. Karen is probably having a worse day than you. So what can you do to alter, to change the future? Life is a game of chess. What moves at what time should you make to get the outcome that you want? It's all gonna come back to you. So before you let someone fuck up your day, please, guys, remember, we are the ones. We are the ones. We are here. Like, we are the ones that are gonna change everything for everyone in our families, for our peers, for our friends. We are the examples. We're already starting off on a good foot by being here all together right now and talking about shit like this. So guys, like I said, be patient and be kind and be compassionate. I love you guys so much. Peace out, Girl Scouts. Bye-bye.